Well, good evening. It's good to see you here tonight. Again, I'm going to have to commend Section C this morning and tonight. Y'all are doing a great job filling up this section, rows 2 through 12. And it's looking good again, so I'm going to keep commending you if you keep doing a good job with that. But we're glad to see you here, everyone that's in attendance tonight. I know that you have been anticipating this evening since we got to it last year. It is time for the reveal sermon that we do every year. At the first of the year on Sunday night, I always talk about how we can do something a little bit better, how we can improve our year. And we always start with a title to our sermon. I know you've been anxiously anticipating this. I know it's kind of caught up to us a little bit quicker this year. Some people had even forgotten that we did that. Said, oh yeah, that's tonight, isn't it? Okay, but tonight, I'm going to be talking about something. I hope that it'll be beneficial to you. Of course, this is just a little gimmick that we use. But the title of our lesson tonight, Michael, if you'll reveal it, Getting Into Your Routine in 2016. Getting Into Your Routine in 2016. Well, I want to share a passage of Scripture with you. Exodus chapter 25, verse 4, he says, and see that you make them after the pattern for them, which is being shown you on the mountain. Now, I want us to look at this word routine for a moment, and I want us to consider its definition from the Merriam-Webster dictionary. The first way that we can define this word is regular way of doing things in a particular order. Now, when you look at that definition, here's another way to think of it. This speaks of the plan or to the plan of action, the habit that you have, what you're actually doing. We'll go into that a little bit more as we get closer to it. A second definition for this word is a boring state or situation in which things are always done the same way. So you kind of get into the routine. And if I were to express this another way, this speaks of the perspective or the attitude of the person that's involved with it. Something can become routine. It can become mundane and boring, as our definition states. So one speaks to the action or the habit. Another speaks to the attitude that we have towards something. And so what I want us to do is think about getting into our routine. I want us to think about getting into some actions that will be beneficial to us, but I also want us to think about the actions that we are already doing, making sure that we have the right perspective and the attitude towards those things, especially in light of the things that God wants us to be doing. Now, I want to ask you this question. What routine or routines do you follow? Do you have some particular things that you do in the morning? Maybe there's a routine that you have when you go to bed at night, especially if you have children. A lot of times parents with children have a routine that they go through. It may be a supper, then bath time, then let's get dressed, let's read a Bible story or a book, or let's say a prayer, let's tuck you in. Then we might have a routine. I remember my grandmother used to have a routine. I used to love it. Every time that I spent the night with my nanny and grandpa, my nanny had a routine. First of all, she would get the coffee pot set for the next day. All right, she'd get all that ready. She'd go into the kitchen, make sure it was cleaned up. Then she would turn on the light on the stove so that if I needed to get up at night or if I were scared of something, I might be able to come in there to see a light. I wouldn't be afraid of the dark. So she'd set the little light there on the stove. Then she would go into the bathroom for the next 35 minutes. And she would put rollers in her hair. And then she'd spray that. Then she'd take toilet paper, wrap that toilet paper all around her hair. Then she'd put the big nightcap over her head, and she was ready for bed. Now, that was her routine. Every time I spent the night with my nanny, she had to make sure that she had. And you know what? I can tell you, it worked. Because when she got up the next morning and took that shower cap off and all those rolled out and unwrapped that toilet, it was like it had been mummified. It didn't move. It was perfect. Routine. You know, I have a routine, and maybe I have a certain way that I like to shower. I get a shower. I always do my hair first. I don't know why. Then body, and then I shave. Then I rinse my hair. And if I'm not in a big hurry, then it's conditioner. I don't know why. I just have gotten into the habit of doing that. And I have a good attitude about it because I haven't changed it, and I like it that way. You may have routines that you are involved in your life all the time. And I want us to think about some of the routines that we may have. You know, another way of expressing this idea is with the word pattern. It may be that you have a pattern for the way that you do things, or you follow a pattern in some things that you have done in your life. And so I want us to think about some biblical examples of following a routine. And this is not going to be a lengthy lesson. I just want to consider some things and give you maybe some helpful tips about routine for your year that you can start off with right now doing to help you in your walk with God. But here are some biblical examples of following a routine. I want us to first look at 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 6, and I want us to think about King Hezekiah. And I want you to notice what is written about him here in 2 Kings. Beginning in verse 5, it says, "He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that there was none like him among all the kings of Judah after him, nor among those who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept the commandments that the Lord commanded Moses." Now here's a guy that got into a routine. He had the routine of making sure that he did what God wanted him to do. I'm going to follow the commands that God gave to Moses. Those are going to be a part of my life always, and I'm going to trust in God and hold fast to him continually. If you'll turn just a few pages over in 2 Kings chapter 22. We can look at another king, King Josiah. It says, "And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the way of David his father. And he did not turn aside to the right or to the left." Now this morning we talked a lot about consistency, didn't we? And here is a king who walked after his father David, and it says that, I mean, he was dedicated to following that path, and he did not deviate from it to the left or the right. I'm going to stay right on that. I'm going to follow that path. I'm going to get into this routine of making sure that I'm in compliance with God's will in the ways of my father David. And so you think about King Josiah. I think about John chapter 4, verse 24. That passage of Scripture says that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, that's following a certain way. And basically, if you look at that passage of Scripture, it also can cover both of the definitions of what we suggested regarding routine. We talked about the habit, and then we talked about the attitude or the perspective of it. Here in this passage, he says, those that follow God or those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so there's a certain way that God wants us to worship Him. You know, we noticed our passage of Scripture earlier from Exodus chapter 25, verse 40. Now I want to call your attention to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, basically, what the Hebrew writer is doing is he is quoting from Exodus 25:40. He says, concerning the things regarding sacrifices and the high priest, he says, they serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things, for when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God saying, see that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain. Now, why was that significant? Well, hold that thought and we'll come back to it in a moment. But I want us to look again at another passage of Scripture. I want us to look at Titus chapter 2, verse 7. And here the Apostle Paul, writing to the young man Titus, makes a statement. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. Some translations talk about the pattern of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity and dignity. Pattern of good works. Be a pattern of good works. And in what? He goes back and he says, in your teaching, some translations say, in your doctrine, show integrity and dignity. Now, I want to suggest to you a couple of things. These last two verses, Hebrews 8:5 and Titus 2:7, represent our redemption and relationship with God. Now, some might call these issues of salvation and worship, which certainly they are. But it's about redemption and relationship with God. Another way of expressing that. And we've often said in our congregations, in our study of God's Word, that there is a way in which a person becomes a Christian. There is a pattern, there's a routine that has to be followed. We talk about worship, there is a pattern, there's a routine that must be followed if we want to worship God acceptably. And so when we look at these two passages of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, going back to that, what the Hebrew writer was saying there is it's significant that everything regarding the tabernacle was made exactly and set up exactly the way God instructed Moses to set it up on the mountain. Why? Because they serve as a copy and a shadow of the things that were to come. It helps us to understand our redemption and relationship to God, our salvation and our worship. Why? Well, you go back to the tabernacle, and you see how that when they came in there was that altar of burnt offering. It represented the sacrifice that was made on behalf of the people. Who was our sacrifice? It's Jesus. You go to the tabernacle door, and before the priest could go in, they had to wash in the laver. In other words, that represents before we can go into the tabernacle of worship, we have to be washed. We have to be cleansed. There is a routine. There was a pattern they had to follow, and it serves us today. And so it talks about our redemption. The blood has to be shed. The sacrifice has to be made. Our washing has to occur. Not the putting away the filth of flesh as it was for them, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. They serve as a copy and a shadow of the things that were to come. That's why it was important for them to set things up on the in the tabernacle grounds the way God said set it up. There was a reason why he put the things inside the holy place for those priests to be involved with, because they serve as a shadow of the thing. Well, what do they serve? Well, we talk about the altar of incense and talk about the table of showbread, and we talk about the candlestick that was there, and we think about the prayers and the communion, and we think about the light of the gospel that's taught there and obeyed. Those things were a shadow. And that talks about our relationship. When you talk about worship, we're talking about our relationship with God. Do you want to have one or not? And so we think about these issues. Getting in that routine. Well, what does it say? Follow the pattern of those. And he says so in Titus chapter 2, verse 7, that show yourself a pattern of good work. In other words, get into the habit or the routine of doing what's right. And in your doctrine, make sure in your teachings that you do so with integrity. And so there's a routine we must get in. These are some biblical examples for us to follow and to observe. Well, you want to know something else? The early Christians had a routine. Early Christians had a routine. Go to Acts chapter 2, verses 42, and then 46 and 47. I want us to discuss their routine. And I want to give you some practical tips that might help you this year in your walk with God. Verse 42. Some translations say, and they continued steadfastly. The ESV says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They got in the habit of doing these things. You know what? We're going to make sure that we honor what the apostles have taught, the doctrines they're delivering, because we recognize and understand that they have been inspired by the Holy Ghost to lead us in the right direction. So we're going to get into the habit of continuing steadfastly in their teachings. Not only are we going to do that, but we are going to have fellowship in the breaking of bread and in prayer. There's some things that we're going to do. We're going to make these a part of our daily activities, our routine. Now go down to 46 and 47. It says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. All right, so I said I wanted you to think about the routine that they got into, the early Christians got into. Did you catch that, 46 and 47, the routine that they had? Now I want to share four tips for us today. Now after we have discussed or looked at these four tips, the lesson's going to be yours, but I hope that this will help you. I know we haven't talked about making resolutions for this new year. I've got some things that I want to do that I thought about as I was preparing some lessons, my lesson for this morning and even for tonight. So these are some things that are going to be helpful to me, I hope, and I hope they'll be helpful to you as well. But four tips for us each day so that we can get into our routine in 2016. Number one, worship. Spend time with God every day. Now that's what we go back to here in Acts chapter 2, verse 46. It says, and day by day, attending the temple together. Well, what was the temple? The temple was their place of worship. It had taken the place of the tabernacle that had been there before. But now the temple is where those people went for worship. So they knew what people were there and the purpose of people being there. And I want us to suggest that every day we need to worship God. We need to spend time with Him. You do not have to wait to worship God until Sunday morning and Sunday night. You can worship God at your home. Do you realize that? It doesn't have to be the entire congregation. I can worship God at home. I can spend time with God there. I don't have to wait for Sunday morning. Now, there are certain things that we do on Sunday morning that we have been instructed to do, that we've been given by example and command to do when we come together as a congregation. But you know what? I can take out some time and worship God during the week. So I want to encourage you to make sure that you spend time with God just like these early Christians did every single day. However that may be. Might be that you give yourself to some type of scripture reading or to prayer or to meditation, or maybe you just sing a song in your mind to God. But you spend time with God every day. Second tip is this, fellowship. Spend time considering your brethren every day. How can we do that? Well, there's a lot of ways that we can do this. They had fellowship. It might be that you just think of somebody different each day that you want to call and say something to. Maybe there's somebody that's sick that you thought, you know what, I need to encourage them. Or maybe it's somebody that you appreciate and you want to say thank you. And I don't know, it may be that you can plan this out. Just one call. How long does that take? Every day to just make a call to somebody to say, hey, how are you doing? Thinking about you. Or say to them, yeah, I just wanted to call you and tell you I appreciate you because you've inspired me in this way. And I just want you to know how thankful I am for you. You can do that with anybody. You might just call somebody up and say, you know what? I just want you to know how much I love you. And I'm so glad that you're part of our congregation. And give some encouragement. You might talk to somebody that's sick or somebody that you're thankful for, or somebody that needs encouragement, and you just make a call every single day. Think of somebody else and consider them, or send them a card, or go visit them. But have fellowship with them. Consider your brethren. That's the one thing that I think about when I think about the Christians here in Acts chapter 2. And day by day they were attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. They wanted to be together. They considered one another. They wanted to strengthen one another. And there are so many ways, and you can be creative about this. You could do it through social media. You could send an email. You could send out a tweet. I don't care how you do it. Just make sure you think about and consider your brethren every day. Just like the Christians did. Cared about each other. So spend time with God every day, and then spend time in consideration of your brethren. And it may be that you pray for them, but think about them. Number three, spend time talking about God every day. It says that they received their food with gladness and generous hearts. And then it says praising God. Praising God. A lot of times, and I know I'm guilty of this, just probably like many others are, I spend a lot of time talking about everything else that's going on and not enough time talking about God. You ever feel like that sometimes? I spend a lot of time talking about everything else and not enough time talking about God. People in the world need to hear us talk about God. They need to hear us express our gratitude for Him and our praise for His glory. And if they will hear us thanking God and praising Him for all of the things that He's done, then it might make an impression upon them in their lives. And so here's something for us to do as we're following what the first century Christians did here. We need to worship God, spend time with God every day, spend time considering our brethren every day, spend time talking about God every day, and then spend time having favor with all the people. What does that mean? That means spend some time just doing something good for others. There's a lot of people out there that you can influence, that you could help, just with a smile, just with a kind word, just with a thoughtful behavior. It's no wonder that these Christians had favor with all the people. Why? Because their lives had been changed and they were different. They were trying to live godly lives. And if we will try to live godly lives, and if we will try to do good for other people, guess what? Other people will appreciate that. That was their goal, was to try to have favor with all the people, to show them love and compassion, to show them a better way of living, a better way to Christ and to God. And they were having favor with all the people. So spend some time doing good every single day. Now, if we'll implement these things in our life, they'll help us get into the habit of doing it. We get into that routine. And I can tell you something that happens. You know, we sang a song this morning. There is sunshine, what? In my soul today. There is nothing will make you feel better. Nothing will improve your attitude better than doing something good for other people. And so I want to encourage you to get into the habit of doing some of these things. But then I don't want you to think of this as a boring thing. I want you to know that you're going to receive blessings and you're going to enjoy doing this as well. And so it's about the habit, but it's also about the attitude. It is more blessed to what? Give than to receive. And that's what we need to do. And so getting into your routine in 2016, that's what I want to encourage all of us to do. Four tips for today. I don't know what your relationship is with Jesus right now. I know that we've talked about it. Talked about the pattern of things that you need to do in order to become right with Him. Talked about redemption, a pattern of redemption. And so this evening, if you're not a Christian, maybe that you have faith in Jesus Christ. It may be that you believe. We would hope so, and maybe why you're here, because you believe in Jesus, but you just want to know more about Him and you want to understand how to have a relationship with Him. And in order to do that, you need to now decide, I don't want to live for the world anymore. I want to live for Jesus Christ in my life and repent of your sins and recognize and confess for others that He is the Son of God, and then be baptized to wash away those sins, raised to walk in newness of life. And it may be that in your life you have not been living according to the way that God has told you to live in other aspects of your life. You once became a Christian, but you've turned away from that and you're not living the way that God tells you to live, according to the doctrines, the pattern that we're supposed to follow in the New Testament. And you want to make that right with Him this evening. Tonight you have a wonderful opportunity to do that. then you can get into routine, your routine, in 2016 and continue all through the year doing those things that would be pleasing to God. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, we stand ready to assist you while we stand and sing.